Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Well, good morning, good day, good afternoon, good evening. This is Bishop Randy Dean. I'm the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe lesser values than love slide into and easily devolve into BS, bait and switch, or other matters that might relate in your mind to BS. I am not on this earth for BS. I'm on this earth for love, and I will live the rest of my days running toward, climbing into, and reaching for love. I say here every week, love is a journey. Love is that passage that we need to continue to walk with determination to get to better and more powerful understandings of love. I'm convinced that love is life's purpose. All of life fills its whole purpose in love. To the degree we love is the degree to which we live. So today I want to talk to you about the enlightenment of love, how love is that which lights our path, which puts a light before us that we are drawn into, and that we have an ongoing purpose in this world. You know, that purpose isn't just to make money. That purpose isn't to build a bigger house or a prettier, plant a prettier garden. Those are nice things. But the real purpose in our life is to have loved well, to have loved to the very end, to have found that love isn't just static, it's not stationary, but it's an evolution, that it's growing, and that there is a process of enlightenment. And that's what I'm going to talk to you today about, that process of enlightenment, because I'm convinced far too many of us, especially us church folks, we've become experts in theology, but novices in love. And I want to turn that around. I want to be experts. I want to be an expert in love. And that means all of my life needs to be in a research of love, in the repair shop with love, to take my love automobile in for an oil change, a tune-up, a tire change every so often, to make sure that this vehicle called Randy Dean is moving toward love at the best possible rate I can. So to that end, one of the things that we do here on the No BS Bishop is I share with you my love's creed. Now let me reinforce this for just one moment. When we repeat creeds, we can do it with an empty mind. We can do it with an acknowledgement of, I have to do this, I'll get it over with. Or we can have an acknowledgement of purpose. And that's what I'm here today for, is the enlightenment of love. Let's make a purpose out of a creed. I mean, you go to church and you repeat the Apostles' Creed or other creeds, and that's awesome. However, to what degree do you take those creeds to your footsteps, to your thinking, your meditation? That's when the creed becomes powerful. So I want to offer this creed as a powerful statement of life, a powerful statement, as I'll talk about today, the enlightenment of love. So I'll read it to you in total, and then I'll give it to you in portions as I would a vow at a wedding altar. All right? So here it is in total. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans and dreams, designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I'm unavailable for anything less. So you see, this is the process of enlightenment, and it's a creed that we can meditate on, contemplate. Send me an email at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and I'll send you a copy of this if you'd like. Put it on the dashboard of your car, on the mirror in your bathroom, somewhere where you see it routinely, and then you call to mind to say these words. All right, let me give it to you as a vow. I'll repeat, and then I'll have you to repeat after me. All right, I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less. That's Love's Creed. And like I said, it's a light that we hold to our path. It's a light that we hold before us on a dark night, like you would a flashlight, that you would shine before your feet, where you're stepping, where you're walking, watching your steps so that you're in a pathway and a process of enlightenment. Like I said at the very beginning, I'm concerned that we church folks have become experts in theology, but novices in love, and we need to turn that sucker around. We need to be experts in love. And in order to be an expert at anything, you've got to practice. You've got to draw yourself up out of the doldrums. You've got to pull yourself out of the ordinary toward the extraordinary. To be an expert at anything is to have listened to others' research. Find out whether your research holds up to the research of others, a comparable weight and a balance that you say, oh, okay, I never thought of that. Or maybe I've seen some things that are mistaken, and I've got to correct my own definitions of love and bring it to a higher place. And that's why I'm here. I'm not here to tell you that I know it all, but I am here to tell you that I know something that I would like to share with all of you and challenge you to rise, to shine, to run instead of just walking toward this great and grand journey of love. So, in a process of enlightenment, to walk in the path of enlightenment of love, the enlightenment of love is going to be just that. It's a process. The process that involves failure. Yeah, that's right. We will fail at this, and we'll fail sometimes more than we want to admit that failure is part of the process, and seeing that failure not as final, but as a learning point and as a point of reference so that you know what your foibles were, what your weaknesses were toward love, and to correct those steps of failure and make them more successful and purposeful. So the process of enlightenment will always invoke a certain level of disillusionment because you'll see your own failures. When you see love for what it is, you'll see your failures. And so to be enlightened is to once in a while be disappointed with yourself, to understand that failure is part of reaching for success. There is no such thing as failure-proof success. Listen to me carefully. There's no such thing as failure-proof success. Ask any business person. Ask any parent. Oh, there you go. Ask any parent. Is there such a thing as failure-proof success? No. You've learned by your failures. And in the process of enlightenment toward love, we're all going to reach beyond our failures. But in order to reach beyond our failures, we have to acknowledge them, to see what they are for what they are. So that's the next process of enlightenment, is to acknowledge our failures. And in acknowledging failures, acknowledge successes. Say out loud, you know, I think I did that pretty well. You know, I think I overcame my failures. So if you acknowledge your failure, do so with somebody else listening. To admit the exact nature of your wrong to another human being and to God. But after you acknowledge it, then look for the acknowledgement of, okay, what have I done right? Have I done some things wrong, but have I also done some things right? The process of enlightenment will always invoke a certain level of disillusionment, but in that disillusionment, there will be an illumination of what you've done along the way. So if when we see what we've been missing, though, it will all at once disappoint us and it will delight us. Think about that. So in my acknowledgement of failure, acknowledging what I've done well, it'll lead you, yes, for a moment of disappointment or two here and there, but it'll also lead you to another moment or two of delight to recognize, all right, there's more coming and I've done a little, now I'm going to do a lot. the delight of knowing that I've done some of this and I've done some of it well. Now I want to do more of this. I want to do better at this. I want to see myself rise and shine at this. And again, the process of enlightenment is a difficult path. It's a difficult walk. The process of enlightenment says I got to let go of those dark things that I've been embracing as if they were light. And the process of enlightenment is, again, to acknowledge my failures, to see that I've always had a certain amount of disillusionment along the way, but to never give up, and especially as it relates to the high priority of love. The highest priority of human existence is the priority of love. And to realize that I've failed at some of that is to be disillusioned. But to realize that I failed is also to realize I've got a place to grow. I've got a place to go upward and onward so that I'm not just living in disappointment, but I'm reaching for delight. So in the process of enlightenment, there's always failure. There's always a need to acknowledge my failure, but also to acknowledge my successes. And I realize, you know, I've done this myself, that sometimes we just fall back at the disappointment. When we've loved someone, or at least we loved to the best of our ability, and that love was not returned, or it was fired back in some dysfunctional, broken way, it's easy to fall back at the disappointment. But I'm encouraging you here, in the process of the enlightenment of love, is to leap forward. To never, ever let the falling back be your habit. Falling back happens. Weeping may last for the night, but leaping forward is the better engine of life. It's the cylinders firing in order, like a gasoline engine that's firing well, it's tuned well. It's to leap into the delight of recognizing, okay, my failure has only given me a moment of enlightenment, truly. It's given me a moment of enlightenment that I have places to grow, that I haven't got it all done, that there's more to happen here, and that I can leap toward the delight, like the Love's Creed, that I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for pain. I'm alive with plans and dreams and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. So in that regard, to leap with delight is to leap with the sense that there are plans yet to live. There are dreams yet to reach. There are designs yet to be purposed and thought through. And, you know, I believe that in those plans, dreams, and designs, there should be some kind of a chronological journaling of what we've done. You know, that's what the process of enlightenment is, not only to see our failures, to acknowledge failures and successes, but to journal along the way, to write notes to yourself. Maybe you might want to call it some love notes to yourself. In my case, it'd be, "Dear Randy, you're aware of where you've fallen, but I'm proud of you that in that awareness, you're also aware of what you can leap forward toward. So don't give up, Randy." You know, I could say that to Randy because I'm the only guy that can say that, really. And it may sound just a touch little maniacal, but I'll tell you, it does good. You know, to talk myself out of that deep funk and that deep weariness of where I've been, to know I've got places to go with plans, dreams, and designs. So in this this falling back that some of us do, you know, we do fall back at disappointment, but there's also in that the process of enlightenment means take a break. You know, I think love requires, I said the last couple of weeks, a strategic retreat, a strategic pause. Take a break. Give yourself the opportunity to rest a bit. You know, love is like a muscle. You can work it and you can overwork it. Make sure you haven't worn yourself down to a nub where you're not having, you know, the full capacity for functioning going forward. The enlightenment of love will exercise you. It'll give you a long run in the early morning. And if it's cold, then you better when you're done with that run, you better go warm up, get a warm cup of coffee or a cup of soup, warm your body up and rest so that you can get up and run again. Strategic break from love. I've said to people that oftentimes we're overly challenging to ourselves. You know, I do believe we need to challenge ourselves, but I also believe we can be a taskmaster on ourselves. I do know that this whole notion that I keep talking to you about week in and week out about love and how it is this marathon, not a sprint. I know that we take that and can take that. I know I have taken that, and we've been unrelenting to ourselves. But the process of enlightenment says, reflect a bit, be contemplative about it, meditate on your successes, and yes, meditate on your failures. But don't wear yourself out. Give yourself time, as we'll do at the end of this broadcast, time to breathe. Rest your emotions. Rest your mind. Don't stay there, obviously. But in the process of enlightenment, the enlightenment of love, there has to be moments, strategic retreats, and strategic places where we rest. I find this to be true, especially in romantic love, where a marriage has fallen apart, where there's been stress up to the stratosphere. Stratospheric stress has just absolutely depleted our love muscles. It's kept us running hard and hard and hard, even through the night, not sleeping. And that is what I mean when I say we need to take a strategic retreat. I would recommend a strategic retreat might look like finding a good professional counselor, somebody who will listen to you for a solid hour and just give you their ears, and then possibly give you some recommended means of recovery, recommended means of giving yourself advice, or having some team around you that can advise you forward. When it comes to the failure of a marriage, for instance, or a long-term relationship, I don't think there's any replacing getting help, taking that strategic retreat, giving love the opportunity to recuperate. So when we are reaching for enlightenment, of course, we're going to be excited. And of course, there are also in that excitement some levels of disillusionment where we failed. But in that, the high of excitement and the low of disillusionment, there is this stress. Stress is when something's stretched. And like any rubber band, our emotions can snap if they're stretched too long, too far. So rest. Give yourself a strategic retreat in the process of enlightenment. You'll never regret the moments that you've rested. You will always regret the moments that you lived in a stressed out run with no break in between. So in that process of enlightenment, learn to do what you need to do to keep going strong. Enlightenment is it's like the sun rising in the morning. The sun doesn't just come up all at once, right? The sun, if it did, it would shock us. It would cause the whole earth to go into a convulsion. The process of enlightenment is this slow and gentle rising, being aware of just how much is needed at any given moment. The process of enlightenment doesn't run past a moment of aha. It gives the aha a time to contemplate, a time to think, time to share with others. Maybe bounce that off of somebody and say, "What do you think of my aha?" And let somebody else say, "Well, I've never heard of that before, but have you thought of this?" Being careful that your sunrise isn't a sudden appearance in the sky that rocks the earth off of its axis. Don't let the sunrise of love become a demand for a sudden. All of a sudden it comes. See, I think that the suddenlies happen in the moments. When that sun is risen to the 12 noon high, it rose centimeter by centimeter by centimeter until up in the sky at noon, there's that bright, brilliant sunlight. The same is true of an enlightenment of love. It rises centimeter by centimeter by centimeter until finally at the high noon, there it is, high in the sky, giving warmth to all. Now, in that regard, the process of enlightenment means that I have to recognize, hey, sometimes the sun goes down. Now, listen to me carefully. I don't mean that we intentionally say, okay, I'm done with that. Now, let's try something else. I simply mean that there are ebbs and there are flows. There is a tidal wave of love. It goes in and it comes back out. It rises to the high tide and then it comes down to a low tide. And so, as I said earlier, we've got to have some ebb and flow. We've got to know there's a time to rest and there's a time to run toward it. There's a time to pause and there's a time to just pull hard going forward. I hope that makes sense. Enlightenment is the same kind of activity that when we exercise on any level, if we're using a leg muscle that hasn't been used in a while. I remember as a kid, I had to have a cast on my left leg, and I had no clue. I had no clue what 6 weeks of that cast on my leg was doing to my muscles and to my knee joint. I just thought, as soon as I can get that cast off, I'm going to jump up and I'm going to walk and run. And oh, was I ever in for a shock. I passed out the first moment of that cast coming off my leg, because first of all, my leg looked horrible. And second of all, I jumped off the table and tried to stand on it immediately. And the doctor grabbed me as I was passing out, falling to the floor. I think we need to recognize that when it comes to exercising the muscles of love, giving them the opportunity to work toward certain repetitions rather than the rapid jump, the rapid leap, the rapid firing of our love toward some object. Due diligence is important here. You've heard of lover's leap, right? Yeah, well, lover's leap is a bit of a fantasy. When people say, I fell in love, I'm always just a little bit cautious with somebody that tells me that, because if you fall in, you can fall out. Don't fall. Rise gently. Rise with contemplative thought. Let the process of the enlightenment of love be like the exercise of a leg that's been in a cast for a long time. Do it with care, especially if there's been an injury. Do it with a measure of day by day by day, with a journal perhaps, and with a friend or two or a counselor that's talking you through how to manage your love forward in a way that's productive. And it's, I want to say safe, but I, you know, there's nothing always safe about love, because love is a wild Bronx sometimes. But know this, there's a better way to do it, and there's a safer way, let's say it that way, safer way to love rather than just to be reckless in your process of enlightenment. Well, I'm going to bring this to a close today with two exercises in the process of enlightenment, in the revelation and the understanding of love. And that process of enlightenment in love requires, as I say, strategic retreat, strategic rest. And to that end, that's what I do here every week, is I ask you to put everything aside, put yourself in a position of complete pointed feet on the floor, your spine is nice and straight, and your head is held up, and breathe as deep as you know how. Sometimes there are physical challenges, and I understand that, but breathe as deep as you know how. On the count of three, I want you to take the deepest breath you can, pull it all the way down into the bottom of your lungs, and do it for just that one, two, or three count as you hold that breath in, all right? On the count of three, here we go. One, two, three. Breathe in deep. Hold it. One, two, three, and exhale. Learning the secure notion of breathing with that kind of intentional rest is a part of what we need to do for our mental health, our emotional health, and in particular, the health of our love. Give yourself strategic retreat. And the last exercise that we do here every week is to find somebody nearby and give them the three most charmed, musical, poetic words in the human language. Give them those three words. Three words that some people haven't heard in forever. And I want you to give them full eye contact and the full beat of I love you. That can be awkward. It can be weird. And yeah, I know some people will dodge eye contact, and that's okay. At least you've attempted to say those words with full intentionality. I love you. It'll change your life, and it may just change somebody else's life who hasn't heard those three words in the kind of full intention that they need. The process of the enlightenment of love leads us to make sure we're saying it to somebody every day. I love you. Thank you for being here today for this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. All lesser values than love devolve into BS. Let's live in that rising, shining enlightenment of the power of love. Now, happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.